Dr. Eileen Marty is an infectious disease specialist and professor at Florida International University. Dr. Marty, how are you feeling? You had, was it the flu you had last week?
I had a combined para-influenza and a little bit of RSV thanks to my baby granddaughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it happens. Well, you sound great, and that's good. And this may be good news for us here. Cases have dropped slightly in the Chicago area, along with the citywide positivity rate over the past few days. Are you seeing any indications around the country that we may be beginning to see a flattening of the increase in Omicron?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Certainly, it looks like New York has plateaued. We think that here in Florida, we're going to be plateauing very soon, and I'm happy that that's going on in the Chicago area as well. And it's pretty much to be expected. I mean, the outrageous numbers of people that have been infected make that somewhat inevitable, right? That you get to a saturation level, and then the numbers should come down. And that's exactly what happened in South Africa, where it rose precipitously, and then it came down precipitously. And we can pretty much expect it will come down precipitously. So that's really good. And the future is looking good if we get more people vaccinated, because the data that's come back, there's a huge study that the CDC put out on the 7th of January, I think was the date, where they had reviewed all the data from 2020 to 2021 till October 2021, so just pre-Omicron, showing what incredibly low incidence of hospitalizations and even lower incidence of death happen in people who were vaccinated. So we're talking about less than 0.015% of the hospitalizations being in the fully vaccinated. And that's really great data. And that's where we have to go, because unfortunately this virus has no evolutionary pressure to become less dangerous in humans. None whatsoever. It could become less dangerous, or it might not, but there's no evolutionary pressure for it to do so since it has so many hosts. So we'll likely see another variant. But if we have a highly vaccinated population, then we can get to a point where getting the infection becomes a trivial issue, and it becomes less of a major public health problem or a problem for most people. And then the rare person that would get severe disease would have all the resources available to them to give them good quality care. And so that's what we're hoping for. We're trying to get more of the planet, all humans, at that level of good quality vaccine protection.
Yeah, what is wrong with our planet? So many anti-science mashuganas who refuse to get the vaccine. And I don't know what else to say about this. I mean, I heard somebody talking about this yesterday. It's possible that a couple of 100,000 deaths are the result of people who did not get vaccinated. It's got to drive you crazy.
Exactly.
It's got to make you sick.
It is, because not only is it tragic for that individual and their families and their communities, it has a tremendous spin-off effect on the entire country and the world. This misinformation that's gotten people confused and let's face it, even if you're following the best science, this is a very confusing disease. It has a lot of factors to it, a lot of ways in which it impacts us. And then there are those charlatans giving out false advice and confusing people further. And then people who are very confused, instead of seeking out really good, necessarily reliable scientific and medical sources, instead believe based on their identity. So they follow identity politics or identity ideology rather than following the science. And unfortunately, that can lead a lot of people astray.
Yes, the headline in the Tribune today, test misinformation like the virus also spiking. And it really gets to me how people just don't understand how science works. It is a changing guidance because you have different facts that are uncovered on a daily basis. And then people like you give the best advice based on what you know on any given day. And it changes rapidly. And I'm so upset when Dr. Anthony Fauci is attacked by these nong-nong politicians for doing his job. I mean, I can't restrain myself anymore, Dr. Marty.
I hear you, Bob. You know, I had the privilege of knowing Tony when I lived in Bethesda. And I can tell you, he has done some of the finest, best work for advancing infectious disease that there is, and he is a careful and thoughtful scientist, and he's trying to do the best he can with all those parameters that you're talking about, plus the added complication of the fact that what we're facing, the SARS-2 virus, keeps changing in unexpected ways. I know that Dr. Tedros was talking about the fact that when we looked at how efficient Delta was at transmitting, a lot of scientists were thinking, oh, this is as good as it gets. It's not going to get any more transmissible than this. And then along comes Omicron and proves everybody wrong science evolves, as you say.
Yep. All right. Clear up the mask confusion now. First of all, what's the difference between the N95 and the KN95?
What regulatory agency gives it the approval? That's really the bottom line difference. So N95s go through an approval process here in the United States through OSHA, FDA, CDC, whereas the KN95 follow Chinese protocols. But I have been sent by U.S. government missions in the past to review how China does its industry, how it does follows guidelines. And what they actually do is they have basically mimicked FDA protocols for and CDC protocols. So really, when we have come back and looked at their K95s, even if we haven't given formal permission, we know that they have the right fit and they have the right capabilities of really reducing transmission. So they're virtually the same thing done by two different regulatory agencies.
And they're both better than those blue surgical masks. Correct?
Yeah, especially when you're talking about something that is so transmissible, such as Omicron. And remember, the best way to think about the use of the mask is to reduce the number of viral particles that can get into your body per unit time. And of course, the higher the quality of the mask, the more you're going to have a reduction in that possibility that any viral particles will get into your body per unit time. But if you have a really low intake of virus, your body laughs at the virus and handles it just fine. Whereas if a huge bolus of virus gets into your body, you're not wearing a mask, for example, then it's much harder even for a robust immune system to properly manage the virus, and the virus gets ahead of the immune system.
What do I tell all the listeners who emailed us and texted us after we talked last week wanting to know how they could get a Get Well card to you?
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah,
they're so sweet.
We got a lot of those.
Yeah.
We did. So I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, yeah. This was a pretty quick thing. Those grandkids, I love them to pieces, and they are a source of potential infection. But I knew the baby had not been exposed to COVID. So,
yeah. You got to continue to enjoy your newest potential infection source, Dr. Marty. And we'll talk to you next week. All right, have a good one.